April 19, 2021, it's the Waffle Pedro Show.
However we may labor for our own deception, truth, though unwelcome, we sometimes intrude upon the mind.
For Pedro Show, happy Monday. Started off John Coltrane, Don't Take Your Love From Me. And then Steve Drizos with Axiom, which is the name of his new album. And, you know, Brother Matt's at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south of here because we are still in great quarantine, but I am definitely not man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Steve Drizos with me. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Cheers. Good morning to you, Watt.
Yeah, we're in the same time zone, but you're a little bit north.
Yeah, man, you're just right down the road.
One time I had, a couple of years ago, the second men were opening up for X at the, whatever that place is called, Sunfish, Starfish, something like that, room. And we had to drive back to Pedro in a big-ass rainstorm and shit, and it took us, I don't know, 18 hours?
Brutal.
But we... Like Ishmael, we live to tell the tale. So yeah. Let's talk enough about Watt and his shit. What about you and your journey through music? Steve, please bring me your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man. You know, like a lot of musicians, my parents were the early influence. My old man especially, he was, still is, but he was a semi-professional drummer, played in a Beatles cover band in the 60s and just... had a massive love for all things Beatles, pre-drug Beatles, you know, pre-long-hair Beatles. And so he really got me influenced early. I remember like hearing Paperback Writer for the first time and hearing that guitar riff and being like, man, I don't know what that is or what I'm feeling right now, but I like it. And I want to follow this feeling and see what's going on here. So he was really the first influence, got me started playing drums real early. As soon as he got me a drum kit, he bought himself a guitar and, started jamming together. And that's really, that was my first experience and my earliest influence.
Well, because he was in that, by the way, I heard that Paul McCartney did that guitar solo in that tune.
Yeah.
truth be told, the man can play everything. Now, because your pop was in that band, did he have a drum set in your pad before you got your own?
When I was real little, I had some early memories, yeah, but then he got rid of it. So I think he was real eager for me to get started so he could have a drum set in the house again.
And was it like in your room or garage? No, or
it was down in the basement of, okay, our house. And you know, looking back, man, my family was so patient with me just banging the shit out of those things.
Well, he was a banger, so
he was, yeah. He was 100%. Both my parents were just so supportive of it. You know, I think they just knew early on, like, this is what I was doing. There was never a plan B. And even when I decided to drop out of college to pursue music, they were like, well, yeah, of course. You know, it was never like, you should go back to school. It was like, we know this is what you're doing.
What about before that, like grade school and shit? Were you in the marching band or the choir?
Yeah, I did all that. I started taking lessons when I was about 10 and was in the orchestra early on, and then moved on to the jazz ensemble in junior high and high school. Did a little singing in the choir. And then I started playing guitar about probably 15 or 16 years old, just teaching myself chords and just started writing songs, really. I was never a guitar player who was, like, learning cover songs. I just started writing stuff kind of right out.
Well, you said your pop was playing guitar. Did he help teach?
Yeah, he taught me some bar chords and just simple kind of 1-4-5 progressions, C minor, F, C, A minor, F, and G stuff, you know, like all the classic foundational stuff.
Yeah, how many 50 songs use that?
Oh, all of them.
A minor, C, F, G, yeah.
Yeah, he told me that, and he gave me Inagata De Vita and was like, you learn this drum solo and you'll be set.
Well, that's the other way, right? The lick, the riff.
Yeah.
And that one had that boom, boom, pop, boom, pop, boom, boom, pop, boom. It's a takeoff, actually, on the Gene Krupa. Now, I asked you about marching band because if you're slinging the field drum, that means you're playing traditional. And I wonder, did you go to match grip later because of the rock and roll?
I never started with traditional grip. I was always matched.
Because, you know, you wear that drum, right? You sling it on the side. That's where that came from, right?
Yeah. I started on the bass drum because that's what the freshman always had to carry, was the bass drum. And would always step in horse shit in the parades and stuff because I couldn't see where I was going. And then I think I skipped snare drum and went straight to, like, the quads, you know, like the toms.
Yeah, those are bitching. Now, those are, like, kind of in a big old setup, so you don't have, you're not really slinging it. I can see match, yeah, no problem. What about the thing, not after school, but after school in the afternoon? So your buddies, the basement band, the garage band, the bedroom band, did you do that?
I did later on. Majority of my after school jamming was putting on Zeppelin records or like Kiss Alive and putting the headphones on and playing along to them. It was this great escape. Like, you know, like I wouldn't get invited to like the cool parties. I didn't play sports. So I would I'd put the headphones on and play, you know, like All the World's a Stage by Rush or like all this stuff or Exit Stage Left. And I would I would envision like, you know, all the cool kids and the cute girls in school looking at me being like, oh, he's so awesome, man.
Now look, you know, there's something to be said about that technique, because George Hurley, Minuteman drummer, he taught himself drums by buying My Generation and Billy Cobham Spectrum.
Yeah.
And with the headphones, those two albums is what taught him drum. He just fucking manhandled it and powered through that shit.
Yeah, that's how I learned so much of my stuff, is just playing along to records, playing the drums, turning on the radio and playing to all like the pop hits and stuff.
Can I ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
It was Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon.
Oh, yeah. And what about the first gig you saw?
First big concert was Jimmy Page in the Outrider tour.
Okay. Arena Rock, yeah. So so a lot of this jamming was on your own, but did some dudes at school want to play with you?
Yeah, eventually, when I got later into high school, probably, you know, 14, 15 years old, and I started finding the rock and rollers, and yeah, we started jamming, playing a lot. I was a metal guy, a metal kid for most of high school, so we would play some Priest and Maiden and stuff like that.
What about Bill Ward?
Yeah, oh my God.
Because, you know, Bill Ward, I know that's, you know, right, foundation for metal and all that, but he's kind of a jazzy player.
And he's got swing.
Yeah, Rat Salad, the Fairy Wear Booth, that medley.
Oh, and yeah.
That
shuffle group.
Yeah, absolutely.
So badass, you know. And, of course, like, you know, most drummers in the 80s, Neil Peart, you know, anything Rush was just like, you know, I mean, that was next level stuff, but it was something to shoot for.
Well, I was reading about Bill Ward. He says it was Ginger Baker, because all the England rock and rollers wanted to do blues, which was cool. But then Ginger said, what about the jazz thing? And he kind of brought that in. And, you know, those are some bizarre patterns in Cream. Maybe that Rush guy, he wasn't original, right? But he ended up writing all the words and shit.
Yeah, he came on, I think, on the second album. He came on board.
Yeah. So what about these bands that you had? Did any of them do gigs?
Yeah. Yeah, we start.
Tell me about the first gig.
Man, you know what? The first gigs that I ever did was, like I was saying earlier, taking lessons pretty early on. And my drum teacher had his band with all the music teachers in school. And I started getting hired to play weddings with all the music teachers. So I was gigging with, you know, playing weddings and private events with all these, like, older cats who were all the music teachers. So those were some of my very first paying gigs, too.
Ah, so you did have to learn some copy songs there.
Yeah, I guess on the drums I did, yeah. But, yeah. You know, it was cool. They would take me out.
Sure, good training and all that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, probably half of it was fucking Hal Blaine.
But you know what the most important lesson of that stuff was, like, how to gig. It wasn't about, like, so much the musicality. It was, like, how to just be a cool cat. And go,
oh, yeah,
and,
yeah. Hey. Get you know, your shit. Because the drummer, the guy in the rear with lots of gear.
yeah.
Right, you gotta learn how to schlep all that shit.
Yeah, and just don't be a jerk, you know.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Do your job and be a cool hang, and that's number one. Like, you can get by with being an okay musician if you're a cool hang. If you're a great musician and you're an asshole, like,
yeah, don't fuck that. Look, I want to play something from the new record here, Juggling Fire.
Beautiful.
Begging for night. hearts under the rush hour race. Gray skies and rain flies, look what you've done to this place. If only she'd clean up, stop throwing words at the walls. We'll be right back.
Show. Started that chunk of music off with Steve Drizos doing Juggling Fire. Then brand new from Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard. Got put out an album every 3 months. That's got, love it. Dayton, there's something in the water. Dayton. Dirty Kid School. And I was warned there's a cuss word. I think he says shit in his song, so watch out, people. Or you already heard it. Too late. Marco Serrano. Raul Cantanzano after that from Seville or Sevilla, Spain, Andalusia, huh? And this tune is Contra Chapo, stand-up bass and flamenco guitar, man, improvised. Why not? Fuck it. Bahamas Prendon after that from D.C. These cats maybe recorded 6,000 songs over 40 years, did 5 gigs. They're still going. In the Shadow of the Wing of the Thing Too Big to Be Seen, from Nadja, and Body Kite, brand new ear canal surgery. From Wales, Tim Holhouse with Freud, finally Static, Steve Drizos. Okay, so probably the wet band stuff, does that go past high school?
No, no, that was just in high school. I went to college and played in some jazz ensembles there, and then I started playing with this cat named Charlie Orlando, and we started this band called Dexter Grove, and and that's when I dropped out of school, because we just started touring, and that's what I wanted to do. So that was about 1995 when I started doing that.
And probably first I-5 tour, right? Because I got to tell the listeners, if you're on the west, you know, the port side of the country here, there's a big chunk of miles you got to do to play the rest of it. So in the meantime, I-5, right?
Yeah, but this was, I'm from New York originally, so that band started on the East Coast.
Okay, so I-95 then, what?
Yeah, so, you know.
I-95 tour's got a lot more places to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, you could drive 20 minutes and hit another college.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like 2 years straight.
I didn't know. See, my pop was right. He said, boy, that word wasn't spelled that way by accident. When you make it, you make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're Portland now, but not in, I should have asked in younger days. What part of New York?
Upstate New York, right? I grew up right outside of Albany.
Oh, okay. So some Hudson Valley rock. Yeah, you know, a lot of people from Manhattan and Brooklyn and shit moved up there.
Yeah. It's a totally, you know, people think New York is just one big city, but man, it's gorgeous country once you get north of there.
Actually, heavy winters.
Oh my God, brutal.
Are you familiar with a pad called Schenectady?
That's where I grew up, right outside.
Oh shit! Okay, I lived there for a couple of years because there, GE had a nuclear plant. My pop was a machinist mate in nuclear engine rooms in the Navy.
No way.
Peachy way. Wouldn't shit you, Steve. Like, no, and so, actually, the little town was called Boston Spa.
Yeah, do you know Scotia?
Well, fuck, I was really little.
Yeah, I was. I mean, Boston Spa was like 5 miles from where I grew up.
Okay, and like there was nobody. There was a guy across the road, and that was it. We were in the woods.
Yeah.
And it was only a couple years. My little sister was born there, but he got trained there. I think they just closed that plant down. It was a big black sphere because had that problem in Idaho with that plant going critical, so they had containment, and that was the first one. So, okay, so you're in that region, man. Yeah, there's a lot of gigs. I can understand. So the Dexter Grove, where'd that name come from?
Dexter was a nickname of mine in college, and there was a town not too far. I went to college outside of Syracuse in this town called Oswego, New York, which was right on Lake Ontario.
That's a native people name, right.
Yeah. Talk about brutal winters, man. It was like a snow.
The snow belt, right, or something. Like from Buffalo across Lake Erie, it just slaughters, man.
Yeah, man, you just get dumped on. So there's a town called Dexter and a park named Dexter Grove.
Oh, okay. So regional reference. That's very cool.
So we grabbed it and took it.
And, man, I dig the fact you being a drummer, man, you're a key guy to the band. You're not just some mouse, you know, the guy who gets blown up. No, the biggest mistake the Minutemen made was having George Hurley. You know, last 20 years, I've had all my drummers downstage. They're right at the front, right on the lip. Because it's rhythm music. Why be in denial?
Yeah, that band, Dexter Grove, we were a two-piece. So it was, you know, it was pretty equally split as far as, you know, who was getting the attention. And I did a lot of songwriting, even though I wasn't the singer, but I wrote a lot of the material as well.
That's cool. Now, did you write on drums or did you write on guitar?
No, I wrote on guitar. I wrote on guitar.
But have you ever composed on drums?
You know, no. There's the title track off my record Axiom started with the drum groove, and I wrote the song around it. But I think that's the only time I can think of that I did that.
Well, I'm asking because, you know, Chico Hamilton tried to get songwriting credit in the 60s. Drummers, you know, the notes don't last long enough.
No. Yeah, that's not for.
That's bullshit. Now, I kind of bring this up because I use the bass as a composition. I mean, okay, it's not traditional, but fuck it.
Yeah, whatever inspires you, you know?
Right. And I know a lot of one-man band records, they like Dave Grohl told me when he did the Foo Fighter, it was drums first. Stevie Wonder did the drums first. Prince did the drums first.
Yeah, didn't Massive do that for like the first
That's
time?
Right. Jay did too. Right. The drums first. Of course, you know, instead of building the song around a fucking click track.
Yeah. Hey, I just listened to that Witch record that he plays drums on.
Oh, yeah.
That's so fucking good.
Well, you know, he was a drummer first. Dinosaur was just a joke thing on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that a trip? It happened with Chili Peppers, too. The joke band becomes bigger than the real band.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that's life. So, what happens with Dexter Grove?
Well, we toured hard for 10 years. We did like 250 shows a year for about 10 years. And we just got burnt out. You know, it felt like it kind of just reached a place where it wasn't going anywhere. And I was tired, both of us. We were just tired living out of a van all the time. You know, the last couple of years, we were homeless and just on the road. And we just got burnt out. So that band stopped in 2004, and that's when I relocated to Portland.
Okay. And do you start something on your own right away, or do you start helping other people?
No, I started getting gigs. The gig I have now is with a band called the Jack Mormons, Jerry Joseph and the Jack Mormons.
Yeah.
And I've been drumming with them for about 15 years. So I knew Jerry before I moved out here. So I got that gig pretty quickly, and I've been doing that ever since.
Oh, wow. Okay. So right when you get to town, you, Craigslist, or, I mean, how'd you find him?
We had known each other from doing, my prior band, Dexter Grove, had done shows with Jerry.
Shared the stage. Yeah.
So just kind of rekindled that friendship. And, yeah, I did some odd jobs for a few years to get myself back on my feet.
Sure.
Just got back in the van.
But that should, listeners out there, see that? You play with a band, you never know. Down the road, you might be in that dude's band.
Yeah.
So don't be an asshole.
There you go. Yeah.
Like you were saying, right? Be a good hang. I love it. Really good. Okay, Steve, we're at the end of the first hour, April 19, 2021. Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest Steve Rizos. Hold tight for hour two. April 19, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
You changed the locks behind the key. Always. Thank you.
afraid to challenge them or tremble when you speak. All good is on your side. As you activate the law, you will experience calm and peace you've never felt before.
Verslaafd naar de monitor, staar op talloze hoofd op de kaarten van olie raf. Die naar de rijen fietsen voor mijn ogen, voorover gebogen, zonder zelfs maar eens te knipperen. Blijf ik op mijn klikken, ik verstel voor het vermogen. Willen noemen het willen, dat wil ik eigenlijk niet. Als ik uit de portefeuille verdwijn, pijn en verdriet. Halverwege de nieuwe maan klinkt het einde van het lied, maar ik ben altijd op de bocht, daarmee eindigt het niet. Lange termijn plannen en korte termijn verleidingen. En krappe afschrijvingstijd, te weinig spreiding door de baan van de dag. Geef ik geheid toe aan de neiging, omdat ze goed op bedoelingen te schuiven zijn. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Ben als een kind dat voor het eerst de Sinterklaas getaligus te pakken krijgt. Ik kruis alles aan, ik schrap niks van de lijst. Geheid het elke keer opnieuw iets te bevallen lijkt. Fenomenaal, totdat je het in de handen krijgt. Want dan blijkt dat het eigenlijk niet zo tof is. Rondlopen met de sneuwe smoel van de blokvis. Stoppers, is dat wat er van mijn leven verworden is? Ik weet zeker dat consumptie niet de oplossing is. Op drift, kasten vol met zit ramen geparricadeerd. Mijn grot zit kop dicht. Ik struikel over alles dat op de grond ligt. Ik zie al wekenlang geen zonlicht. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben.
Mistroostige projectie van misplaatste emoties. Vind troost in het consumeren van wegwerppartikelen.
Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Ik zit vol ma, mijn ogen zijn groter dan gezond is. Ik stop niet voordat mijn buikje strak en rond is. Gestrande potvis, duw me terug in de branding. Lukt niet eentje, kom op, roep de bemanning vooruit. Ik heb vast nog wat ruimte, schuif hem aan de benen. Dit kleine stukje vlees zet ik niet aan de arme kinderen. Door dit te denken ben ik niet langer gehinderd. Zet de sluizen wijd open, morgen ga ik misschien wel minderen. Alleen met de muziek kan ik de maat houden. Voor de rest gaat het de dagen in het gaten gaan. Wat maak je me nou? Elke dag, wat maak je me nu? Wat maak je er nou? Een extra gaatje in mijn centuur. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Hebben om het hebben, om het hebben, om het hebben. Maar ik wil het helemaal niet hebben. Nee, ik wil het helemaal niet hebben.
On my hands and on my knees, if you need me. Stranger thoughts spin around my head, too much chemistry. Celebrate my fall. In this town, in
Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Steve Drizzo's doing You Don't See That Now. Then Ben Salter featuring Georgia Knight, Data Mining Blues. That's funny. I don't know why. Justice Yeldon, Sydney, after that. Ever Again, Brother Lucas. SV Snez Azadich from Chicago, 1,000 Years. From Nashville, Kalinich and Tiven with Fight for Peace. Ema Kai would say something like that. I'm violently pacifist. He told me once. I'm violently a pacifist. Okay. And then Heben Om Heben from Juan Van Dan Dog. Dead Dog. Fuck. But, sorry for slaughtering another language. That's the Dutch one. And those Groningen cats. And finally, Steve Drizos, softer, please. But, you know, not a command. Just a plea. So, this new album, Axiom. Where'd you do it?
I recorded it at my studio. I have a studio here at my house in Portland.
I love that. I love the more and more cats that play are recording themselves. I think that's a great fucking thing. Really.
Yeah.
How'd you get into it, Steve?
What's that?
How'd you get into it from being a man, you know, like, right, like a band man, right, to also a band man and recording man?
Well, it's from just loving being in the studio, and I always was just fascinated with how everything worked, and was just had this curiosity. And it was a combination of that and the frustration of knowing how I wanted something to sound, but not being able to communicate it or having to have somebody between my idea and someone else twisting the knobs. I was like, I got to figure out how to actually twist the knobs to make the shit sound like I want it to sound.
Yeah. And the way you learn, was it learning by doing?
You know, I never was an apprentice or anything, or in a studio or an intern or anything. I just started figuring stuff out on my own and slowly built my studio kind of from the ground up and started working with other bands. And, man, it's been really, through this pandemic, it's just been great. The studio business has been keeping me afloat, which is, I'm so grateful for.
I'm curious, when you were, you know, back in teenage days, did you get a four track, a cassette four track or shit like that?
You know, I never had a four track, but I had two boom boxes that I would bounce stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd record something and then
play it. So you were experimenting early as a recorder, man. Okay, that's great. That's great. And then you turn one of the rooms in your pad into a drum room?
The entire basement of my wife and I's house is, we had a pretty good sized tracking room, and there's a spare bedroom that I blew a wall out, put a window in, and made it into a control room. We have a grand piano upstairs. My wife's a piano player. We have a grand piano upstairs, so the whole house is wired up. I can plug shit in any mics in anywhere.
Oh, wow. That's great. And what do you call your studio?
The Panther.
The Panther. Okay.
Panther. Yeah.
The Puzzle Panther was, well, Darby, the Germ singer, had a panther tattooed on his arm. I remember so bitching, jumping through a blue circle, you know. So the Panther is the home of the Axiom, right? Now,
yes,
what was the process? Did you make, like, demos? Like, you were talking about the title song of the album actually came from a drum trip, right?
Yeah. I mean, my process, was I would demo everything out, sort of playing as many instruments as I could, and then sort of getting the songs realized, and then, you know, putting lyrics down and vocals down, and then I would sort of deconstruct it. I would play the keeper drums to the demo and then strip everything away, and either I would play the guitar, like I played all the guitars on it as well, but I brought in bass players and other singers and keyboard players and kind of built it from the ground up then.
Now, when you brought in those other cats, did they bring their parts or did you write their parts?
You know, I started 100% in control. I was such a control freak, and I just wanted it to, I was just clutching it with a death grip of, it has to be this way. And then I realized that that's not the way to, if you're going to bring people in, that doesn't work that way. Like, you got to have their soul and their essence and whatever they're bringing to the table, part of it, you know. Otherwise, what's the point?
You're right, man. I mean, if you're the boss, you can tell people what to do, but really get the best, you got to learn to inspire.
Yeah.
Man, people ain't figured that out. Because, you know, I think it's conditioning. Just being the boss is it. They don't understand. Yeah.
Well,
trying to get good performances out of people. They don't, until they've been there, they just think that's the whole goal of life, is being able to tell people what to fucking do.
Yeah.
Because power, you know, the sense of power versus the sense of creativity and coming together with other cats. I want to play this Covering Your Eyes.
Right.
Please don't mistake my words as acts of confidence. I'm the best on the inside. She said, you're just like me. Certain places they can't see. Keep your cards tight to the outside. Now you're covering your eyes before this even starts. Covering your eyes. Part of reaching out is then they come around. Easier to tie it up, bury it deep beneath the ground. Now you're covering your eyes and your heart in your heart. Thank you.
Yeah.
branco, saias embaixo do chão, se perderam na viagem, abrem passagem para a estação, onde embarca o cão que regressa, em que trem que entra o rei, que perdeu a coroa na festa, nenhum tem trocado pra nota de 100.
Thank you.
Off of Pedro's show. Covering Your Eyes, Steve Drizos. Then we had Manlio Maresca and Manuel Ferrer's Panic Trio out of Berlin, Manlio, doing banjo paper style. His music is fucking matto. I love it. Yeah, and then some stuff from Italy, huh? From Bari. Irmo Victor with Os Gacons. Sorry, that's French, yeah. Il Cloro Sponja. Fisheye from Alexander DeLarge. And then finally, Take You Home, Steve Drizos. So, you know, we were talking about you come up with a demo. What about that part? What inspired, you know, why aren't these all the same song? Why are they different songs? How do you get like stuff like that?
Well, a couple of the songs were stuff I've been sitting on for years and that I just never finished. But the kind of the theme of the record was, you know, I was going through some pretty big personal changes in my life at the time. And I really just needed something to focus on, something kind of cathartic to get me through this uncomfortable period. And so that's what a lot of, I decided to be kind of honest about where I was at the time. And that was the inspiration for a lot of the lyrics of the record.
And where did the words come? Do they come first and then the music or the music? Well, can I ask you about the titles? When do they come?
Titles usually come from a chorus. Whenever I get the chorus to come around, that's most of the time where I'll, and I think most people do that, we'll grab it from the chorus.
Well, that's why I asked, because I always have to have the title first or I don't know what the fucking song is about.
Yeah.
I know does that, hardly. So that's why I asked you. So, back to the words. Do you have like the notebook full of your spiel?
Notebook. Last couple of years, it's the, you know, my phone. I'll be just driving around and something, I'll see something or an idea will come and I'll just jot it down on my phone. But yeah, it's just, write everything down. That's what I try to do. Never say, I'll remember that and I'll put it down.
We know that. That means right. It's fucking gone. Bye bye. Adios. Yeah. Yeah. I know about that one. So you build up like a batch of lyrics, and then as the music comes, you fit the words to the music?
Yeah, okay. That's kind of my process. But with this next, the songs I'm working on right now, I'm trying to start with melodies first, like not even think about chord progressions, but just start singing melodies in my head and actually put the chords around the melodies, and it's just a different approach to writing song.
Yeah, like scat, like in jazz, those cats with, there's no real words, right? Doop-bop,
doop-bop. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to be singing a song and it's got to have a melody. That's what connects emotionally, people connect with.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, rhythm and groove is very, that's the vehicle, right? But like kind of the message is in the melody, huh?
Yeah, that's the emotional connection, you know. The rhythm gets people moving, but the melody is what people are going to sing in the shower.
Right. And then there's something in between. And you being a drummer, man, you know about this. Syncopation. So
yeah.
You're right, you got that groove, but then there's ways of breaking it up, right?
And
when you mix that up with melody, I think that's where a lot of good rock and roll, or just music, period. Yeah, can I ask you, what do you think about the idea of genre and different, this idea that music is different things?
I mean, I can see where it serves its purpose a little bit, but I mean, at this stage of the game, there's so many subcategories, you know. I mean, an example is this, you know, putting my music up on like streaming services, and you have to pick like what's your category, and then there's like five subcategories you got to choose. I'm like, it's rock. I don't know what it is, like,
you know, because they're trying to fucking airbrush you into algorithm world.
Exactly what it is.
The Bondo, the you know, when you go get a used car, you always bring a magnet, right? There's Bondo, it's going to drop right to the deck. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 19, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Steve Drizos. Hold tight for our freak! April 19, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
sista ordet klinga. Igen i fick stund golvet börja svikta och valsa band. Darrande ben ge vika åt djupaste av avens roll som thank you. det blir slut på ord och tyst, tyst, tyst. När det blir slut på orden, på orden och
brings you back to life. Brings you back to life. Back to life. Back to life. Back to life. Back to life.
Off from Pedro Show. Started the third hour off the Melon Stand. And this is from Jenny Connelly and Steve Drizos. And this ain't from the Axiom album, people. This is another product. And, trippy. I mean, not a lot of lyrics, but some a lot of accordion, though.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then banjo from Alaska from Tommy Donahoe with Pure Powder. Water Boogie System with Sortie. Boo, boo, roo. Icehead. Don't think you can escape your purpose from You Do Right. A couple things from Canada there. And then finally, Dexter Grove, the band we were talking about earlier, people. Life. And I guess this ain't from the old days, though, because Dexter Grove has been resurrected.
Yeah, it was a quarantine resurrection.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that before we get to, you know, the other one, Jenny Connelly and yourself. So you and your partner, after all these years, maybe 15 years?
Yeah, just about that.
Wow. Okay. And did he come over to Portland? Or did
no,
he trade
no.
files over the internet?
We used technology.
Yeah. See, people... You don't have to just use the internet for spreading bullshit. You can also trade files and make music.
Yes, yeah. It's we have been talking about it for years of collaborating again on something, and he sent me this demo of his, and it really kind of bent my ear, and I was like, "This is great!" And so traded files back and forth, and I did all the I mixed it here at the Panther, and we decided to put it out.
So he went first, and then you jumped on to put on some drums and stuff.
Yeah, I think what happened is kind of similar process to what we talked about earlier. I think he sent me a scratch guitar and vocal to a click. I played drums to it, and then he did his keeper guitar vocals. I added some extra stuff. My wife put some keyboards on it and mixed it, and out it went, out into the world.
Beautiful.
It went.
And speaking of your wife, the Melon Stand. Tell us about that. I mean, it's a whole album, right? There's only one song from that album.
Yeah, that record, it's called, the title of that record's called French Kayaking Music, and it comes from a soundtrack that my wife and I did years ago for this documentary about these French kayakers who went down the Grand Canyon in, like, the 1920s, and they found all this color footage that they shot. It was amazing. It was, like, all, like, pre-dammed footage of the Grand Canyon, and so they asked us to write the soundtrack for it, and so that's then we released it as a record.
And how'd you do that? Would you watch the old footage and then jam along to it?
Yeah, they would send us, you know, like, here's this scene, and then you know, there's sort of the, you know, the character in the film, they wanted a theme song for sort of each character. And so there's just a lot of back and forth, up until about a month before the release of the record. Then it's like every day there's edits, and then we have to edit the music to their edits, and it gets pretty intense. But it was a great experience, great learning experience.
You know, when you listen and watch the old cartoons, right, from the 50s, 40s, same shit, right? They had to edit that music to the crazy shit that your eye is seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, man, that's, you know, the hammer comes down, the saw, I mean,
yeah.
Finger, light socket, all that shit. So at least your thing moved a little slower.
It was, like I said, it was, you know, about a two-year process, and then the first, you know, year and a half or so is very little communication, and then all of a sudden it's just like bam, 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 go, and that's done.
But much different than like a rock and roll record.
Yeah.
Well,
you're talking to directors who don't speak in musical terms, so you're trying to translate there, you know, can you make this sound a little more sunny? And, you know, like, all right.
Yeah. More spaghetti, more baguette.
I guess that means more high-end reverb.
Yeah, that's a trip. But it's all art, right? So it's all expression.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of it coming together. Why should they be such separate worlds anyway?
No, it's all emotion.
Right. Here, I want to play something that ain't on the album, but it's part of, I think, the whole dealio, something called Color Safe.
Great.
Station.
shattered beauty hung upon a broken stem, upon a broken stem. I heard them say, what need to care, with roses budding everywhere. I did not answer them, I did not answer them, I did not answer them, I did not answer them. Sky, what reason to be sad? What reason to be sad? There was a girl whose lover fled. I did not wait the while they said, there's many another lie. There's many another lad. There's many another lad. There's many another lad.
Better make peace with your regrets. Don't be
last music for this edition, Color Safe from Steve Drizos. And then Wove It with Eidolon Rain. Unacceptable from Wile. Well, I wonder if it's Wile. It's two V's next to each other. So is it Vile? But two V's next to each other look like a W. W, get it? Double V. Yeah, U and V with Romans, right? Same letter. I and J, too. Miriam Gedrin after that. Solace. And finally, Steve Drizos. Liminal Space. Liminal. Trippy word. Conjures an image in Watt's head. So, now, when you get a record done, do you start thinking of the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Well, I guess the right answer is, you know, between the time a record's done and when a record comes out, as I'm sure you know, can be months.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, once this record was finished, I'm already started to, you know, move on to the next project and think about the next project.
And how do you want to do it different? Or do you want to do it different?
Yeah, I want to do, there's a lot of things I want to do different. I learned so much. This was the first record that I made under my own name and, had done almost everything myself. So yeah, I learned a lot from it. I learned what not to do on the next record more than anything else, than what I want.
For example.
So much in control of everything. Let it breathe a little bit. Don't try to cram, so many ideas into every song. Everything, when I listen back to it, I'm really proud of it, but I hear, I hear my insecurities in some of the production ideas by trying to like cram a bunch of shit in it, or maybe it didn't need it.
What do you mean, like gilding the lily?
You know, like,
because to me it sounds good, man. I mean, I think your studio's got some good fucking sounds, brother.
I appreciate that. I do, and I don't. You know, I'm not. I'm very proud of it, but I just, you know, putting out my first record, there's a lot of insecurities involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe it's a good idea not to break your arm, pat yourself on the back anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You know, simply in my whole career, I've been hiding behind the drums, supporting other people, and then to come out in the front, I was like, oh shit, man, this is like, I'm naked out here, and it's terrifying.
Whoa. Even when it was kind of 50-50 with the Dexter Grove.
Yeah, but it still wasn't. I still wasn't singing the songs. You know, I was writing them.
Okay.
Yeah. Singing them or...
Right. I guess that's always going to be. That's why they call it the front man.
Yeah,
the front man. Well, you know, maybe a lot of stuff is getting redefined and stuff like that. So. You're going to be a little looser on yourself with this next record.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
where can people find you on the internet?
Well, they can go to stevedrizos.com. That's Steve, DRIZOS.com. And also, they can, if you want to check out the studio, it's thepantherpdx.com. And that's got all the info about the studio.
Right. And,
And then there's Spotify and Apple and all the Apple.
Well, probably on your website, you got links to all that shit, right?
I sure do.
Yeah, good. And, the Panther turned out to be a great asset, huh?
Oh, my God. I finished this big remodel on it December of 2019, and who would have thought that that's the thing that would have, you know, have got me through this last year and change that. Shut down touring, but the studio business has just been cranking.
Yeah, and you know, also it adds to your whatever expertise, like the learning by doing thing.
Yeah,
you bring these cats in. Do you end up being like producer or co-producer?
You know, I think it's default if you're engineering a record and there's no designated producer, you kind of become default producer.
Right, but. That might not be a bad thing.
No.
As long as it's cool with the kids, the band cats.
Yeah. I enjoy both sides of it.
Also, you offer the, what do you call that, perspective, right? The forest for the trees thing.
Yeah, and you're also sometimes the decision maker, you know?
Yeah, it's the decider.
The band's arguing 50-50 about it.
Right.
So it's got to make the call.
Well, look, Steve, when you get this new record done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
It would be my pleasure.
Oh, bitchin'. Very bitchin'. It's been a big honor to have you aboard. Keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been April 19, 2021 edition of Juan Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.